Good morning, everyone. Thank you for watching this broadcast. I want to say to my church family, I regret that we had to cancel our in-house service today because of the snow and ice. However, I am thankful that we have YouTube and other social media platforms to broadcast our service. Today, I want to share a message from Matthew 6, 19 through 21, entitled Investment Strategy. First, I'd like to read the text. The Bible says in this particular text, let me get over here to it. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our text today is part of our Lord's great Sermon on the Mount, a significant teaching given by Jesus to his disciples, which is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. This sermon is a collection of Jesus' teachings on various aspects of life and faith and holds great importance in our spiritual journey. Today, we will focus on this text, Matthew 6, 19 through 21, where Jesus teaches about the proper attitude toward accumulating wealth. I believe we can learn a few things about life's investments from this text. Now notice that Jesus refers to laying up treasures. One must gather and accumulate to lay up something, which implies striving, working, and investing oneself in collecting. So as we think about investing strategy, then first of all, we must remember that everyone is investing their life in something. Now, to invest means to devote one's time, effort, or energy to a particular undertaking with the expectation of a worthwhile result. Investors should have some investment strategy. An investment strategy is a set of rules that guide investors' choices. It is designed to help investors achieve their financial goals while managing risk. For example, several factors affect investment strategies. One, the goal. What do we want to achieve with our investments? Number two, we need to consider time. How long do we plan to hold our investments? Third, we need to consider risk tolerance. How much risk are we comfortable with? And finally, expected return. How much or what will we earn on our investments? And so it's important. Believers understand that everyone is investing their life in something, and we need to have an investment strategy. We need to be wise investors, not unwise investors. The second thing I want to mention from this text is that two types of investments are mentioned in this text. First, Jesus refers to investing one's life in earthly treasures. Now, this refers to worldly and material treasures such as money, possessions, and status. These are the things that many people spend their entire lives striving to accumulate. However, Jesus warns us that investing in these things is foolish. Why? Number one, because the material things of this world are corrupt and perishable. Proverbs 27:24 says, "For riches are not forever. And doth the crown endure to every generation?" You see, riches deteriorate and decay. Moth destroys cloth, and rust destroys metal, according to Jesus in verse 19. And then there's a second reason, and that is because the material things of this world are insecure. Thieves can break through and steal. An example of how foolish it is for someone to spend their entire life investing in material wealth and neglect their spiritual life is given in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And I would like to share that text. Now, it begins in verse 13, and it says, "And one of the company said unto him," that is, one of the company said unto Jesus, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." And he said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or divider over you?" And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And then the Bible says he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now we see from this scripture that the risk is too high and the return too detrimental to spend one's life investing in earthly treasures. You see, God helps us to remember and will help us to remember and to live by what is true. Now listen to this text in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Paul wrote, But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And so you see, brethren, we need to be careful in what we invest our life in and be wise investors. Now, a second type of investment mentioned in this text is investment in heavenly treasures, according to Jesus in verse 20. This refers to spiritual and eternal things. One must lay up, that is, invest one's life in spiritual wealth, heavenly treasures, if you please. And this is the wise investor. Heavenly treasures are accumulated as believers live in obedience to the Word and the will of God. Heavenly treasures will be in the form of rewards one receive at the judgment seat of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15. Those verses say, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You see, heavenly treasures are unlike earthly treasures. Earthly treasures are corrupt and perishable. On the other hand, spiritual treasures are incorruptible. Now, there is an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven, according to 1 Peter 1 and 4. So this contrast should enlighten us about the true value of spiritual wealth and encourage us to invest in it. Heavenly treasures, you see, are secure. No one can ever break through and steal or take away what believers store up in heaven. This assurance should instill confidence in our spiritual investments, knowing they are safe and secure. Well, there's a third and a final thing I want to mention from this text, and that is, one's investments reveal where one's heart is. You see, the heart denotes the center of all physical and spiritual life. The heart refers to the soul or mind as the fountain and seat of the thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, and endeavors. Jesus is saying that where a person's heart is, that is where he focuses, where his affections are, and what he is investing his time, energy, and effort in is where his heart is. If one is concentrated primarily on earthly, worldly, and material things, then one's heart is not on God. Wherever your treasure is, that which you cherish the most, there is where your heart is. If one's heart is not fixed on God, and one's treasure is not a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, then one's heart is not where it should be, and one must make a decision. You see, the believer has a clear-cut charge in Colossians 3 and 2. There, the Bible says, set your affection, that is your emotion and your feelings, your love, on things above, not in things on the earth. Every single one of us need to ask ourselves the question, where is our treasure? on earth or in heaven? Are we fixing our mind and our heart on Jesus? Are we loving Him? Is He our passion? Is heaven the place that we're striving for? This is something we all need to consider. Today, if you've never known Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm pretty sure you're investing your entire life in the things of this earth, the things of this life. I want to encourage you, think about where you are spiritually. Think about your relationship with God. Without a relationship with Jesus Christ, one will perish. For Jesus said in John 17:3 that eternal life is to know the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom the one true God sent to be the Savior. Do you know the Savior today? Do you have a relationship with Him? And are you investing your life in Christ and in the things above, not in the things on the earth? If you aren't, I want to encourage you. Number one, trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And number two, use your time, your effort, your energy to build up treasure in heaven, where moths cannot eat up and thieves cannot break through nor steal. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, where is your heart? Is your heart on Jesus? Is your heart on heaven? Are you building rewards in heaven through the good works that you're doing by being obedient to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? These are some questions we all need to consider today. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much for watching the broadcast today. I trust that the Lord will bless each and every one of you.